6:44. Now let's talk about the big auto news. General Motors and Honda announcing that they're teaming up $85 million to produce hydrogen fuel cells. And we are now joined by Rebecca Lindland. She is a senior analyst for Kelley Blue Book. Rebecca, great to have you on WILS.
Thanks so much for having me on, Mike.
Yeah, where are we with these hydrogen fuel cells? I mean, are they even really being used at all right now?
They are available in limited quantities. Honda actually has one in their FCX vehicle, but they're definitely not mainstream by any stretch quite yet.
Yeah, what's the challenge so far in using this technology?
You know, it's a couple of things, Mike. Certainly one of them is just infrastructure and access to this type of stack, if you would, this fuel cell stack. And that's one of the things that this alliance and cooperation will certainly help with, is making these vehicles and this technology more accessible.
Yeah, interesting. They're teaming up, so they're both going to essentially be using the same technology eventually?
Right. I call it co-opetition. You know, it's basically two people, you know, two manufacturers. They've got the same challenges. You know, they're facing the same technology issues and, you know, working together to develop technology that, you know, consumers won't really need to have differentiated. What consumers want different in the car is the touch and feel and the things that they interact with. And there's still a significant opportunity for General Motors and Honda to differentiate the experience in the car while using a common technology.
So if you buy a hydrogen-powered car now, what can you really do with it then?
You can drive it in California, and that's about it. There's really not a lot of opportunity outside of California to use a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, but this will certainly help. And, of course, infrastructure is a big topic these days as we consider both adding charging stations to the U.S. and adding things like hydrogen charging stations.
So if the infrastructure was there, is there any advantage to hydrogen versus using the electric vehicles?
You know, one of the things I love about hydrogen is that it's super clean and it actually produces water as the emissions output. There's a great story, I should have looked it up years ago, of a General Motors engineer driving home a prototype and his dog went running over the tailpipe and started licking the tailpipe because it was the summertime.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that, you know, it's a very, very clean type of propulsion system.
Okay, so where do you see these kinds of vehicles 5 years from now then?
Well, eventually we'd like to see them, you know, on the streets all over the country. It probably won't be like that. We will probably have a limited release. Sometime around 2020 is what the companies are indicating.
Okay.
But the great thing is that this alliance does move up that timeline because, you know, one could argue that if each of them are working independently, it's going to take a lot longer to develop.
Are they pretty expensive then, these cars?
They are. Toyota last year, they sold or leased about 1,000. But again, they were very, very limited and just in California.
Yeah, so just a kind of a cool thing to have. Is that what it amounts to?
It does. I mean, they gave it to, you know, people like Dan Sperling, who runs the UC Davis Transportation Research Center. So they gave it to, you know, specific people. But soon, hopefully by 2020, we would have these available to more people.
Yeah, it's interesting that they're building or they're doing the research in Michigan, the plant where they make the they already make battery packs for Chevrolet Volt and several hybrids, rather than doing this work in California where they're using these vehicles. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's just, you know, there's a lot of engineers and there's a lot of GM engineers, a lot of Honda engineers that are working on this project already, and they're making it in a location that makes sense for them. I don't think that there's anything political that goes into the announcement. I think they looked at it in isolation. I think this just made the most sense from a staffing standpoint. You know, I really like the idea of more engineers coming to Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
We can always use that kind of know-how and those types of people coming in.
How often do you see automakers teaming up like this on technology where they're both going to benefit?
You know, it's not entirely uncommon, but it's something that probably doesn't happen as much as it could. I think that when we think about the structure of these teams, where they're really working, I mean, they're basically making a new limited partnership. And so this isn't something, you know, this team is going to be able to operate separately from the bureaucracy of both Honda and General Motors.
Interesting. And it's a Japanese and a U.S. automaker. That's another interesting team up. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, but you know, you think years ago Toyota and GM paired up to, you know, share factories in the NUMMI plant in California. So it's not unprecedented by any means, but it certainly is a positive for bringing this type of technology to the market.
It's Rebecca Lindland, senior analyst for Kelley Blue Book, right here on 1320 WILS. Rebecca, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me on, Mike.